Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. We're back at our abode
dry.
This week.
We're dry today.
Today.
Yes. And the studio is missing about, 9, 10 ceiling tiles right now. And my guess is that next week it'll be missing another 10 to 15. And we will not be in here.
It's supposed to rain next week?
We might have. We should have brought in a liner, and ran it across the floor. Mm. And then we could have done a radio show from the hot tub.
That's
next week.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if the water's going to be warm.
Well,
you have to get a heating device, some heating coils.
Give me a couple minutes in it, and we'll warm it up.
Oh gosh. Here we go. Way to get it started. So we're back. And
but believe it or not, we actually had, and Tony will back me up on this, back in the, day, okay, in the athletic training room, we had a cold tub.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a player who will remain.
They have a cold tub still back there, don't they?
Yeah, they still got one. Say,
yeah.
And we're in the cold tub, right? And everybody, after practice, it's cold, and you're standing in there, waist deep because you're trying to cool your legs off. I mean, it's 115 degrees outside, heat index, training camp and everything. We're all standing in
every
the cold
day,
tub.
Every day.
Yeah. We use this every day, right? So you would think that something that you would use every day, you would take care of.
Yeah.
We're all standing in a cold tub, and all of a sudden there's a yellow cloud by one of the players on the team.
Peed in the cold tub.
What's
going on? First of all, it ruins the whole purpose. You're supposed to keep it warm. Second of all, it's so cold, I don't know how you go pee. I mean, there's no way you could go pee. I couldn't. And third, you're in a cold tub, and we're all on top of each other
because
there's a lot of people.
And there's a bathroom like 20 steps away.
And he pissed on everybody.
How big is this pool? I mean,
it was probably about as big as
not big enough to get away from the pee.
JP, this little area that we're in right here, was about the size of what the cold tub used to be.
About 25 guys in it.
So a hot tub size, basically.
A really
big
hot tub.
Okay.
But about 25
guys. But you could get 20, 25 guys in there, and it's tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was tight during training camp because everyone's in there.
I think it was like maybe 8 or 9 guys in there, and all of a sudden here comes this yellow cloud. And you look over there and you go,
I guess the cold tub is over.
Are you really doing that in the tub that we're standing in?
Yeah.
For real?
It did.
What was the punishment for this guy?
I don't even remember.
You don't remember?
I don't.
This is good. I wrote him a speech that he had to read front of the team.
Yeah.
And he said, I, state your name, from Stripes, have a urinary problem. I like to pee in the cold tub. And it went on and on and on. He had to apologize. He had to do this in front of the team, coaches, and everything.
Yeah.
That brought back memories.
That's right. I do remember that.
What position did this guy play? He'll remain nameless.
He was with Baselli.
Oh. Well. Yeah, what number did he wear?
We're going a little too far. We don't want to go too far on this. But that was a very embarrassing moment
for him to get
in front of the team and read it.
Sure. NFL annual meeting earlier this week down in Boca Raton, Florida. What a scene, by the way, at the Boca Raton Resort.
You were down the whole weekend?
Yes.
Did you get to stay at the hotel?
Yes. We got there Sunday, left Tuesday afternoon.
Suite.
Yes, it was fantastic.
JP's big down in Boca.
It was big.
JP, that is one of the perks of the job right there.
I got elevated last week, yeah.
JP had the presidential suite.
Did you have to share a room with Osher?
No.
He was rubbing elbows with the owners.
It's a great place. You've never been to Boca at the resort. It's unbelievable. The old property. This thing's old. Really. They have a croquet court. Who plays croquet?
What kind of court?
Croquet. Yeah. The game where you hit the ball.
You've never played that?
No. I've never seen it at a resort.
It's
like all these people that come in and play dominoes and play croquet.
We did.
Tennis.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that growing up.
That was a 4th of July game, summer game.
Yeah, but it was
family picnic.
Well, these old folks.
It was in, It was out in the field.
These old folks take it serious.
Wasn't on a manicured lawn like it is there.
They're like mowing the green in the morning and going out there and putting the stakes in. And yeah, it was. So it's very nice. And they have a beach resort. They had a huge gala. The league had a big gala on Monday night with ice sculptures and food and on the beach.
Did you bring a lady friend with you?
I did not. No, I did not.
Did you hang out with Roger Goodell?
I did not. I actually did not see him the whole 3 days
we
were there.
Hmm.
But it, you know, the main hotel area, you have you know, different restaurants and bars and such. And you go around some other building is where they had all the meetings for the owners. The Misner Center was the name of this place. So
I guarantee you they had that high security area.
So you grab people going in the hallway. You're stopping and, you know, reporters are trying to grab owners and GMs. And it's just kind of a hodgepodge of things going on. But I guess the most notable part of the week is when Jags owner Shad Khan talks. He's not talking every day to the media, of course, but this is one of the times a year that you'll hear from the Jags owner. And the biggest takeaway, he talked about a lot of things, the updates to the stadium, of course, how that's coming along, what his thoughts are on that. Apparently the amphitheater and the indoor facility are going to start fairly soon. But the international series was a big topic this week. Now, a few years ago when the Jags started this thing in London, it was kind of like, oh, they're going to London. Oh, yeah, great. This is going to work. Yeah, right. Well, now everybody wants to play an international game all of a sudden. You got Germany and China and all these other countries
Even
coming
Pittsburgh.
Into play. Yeah. And
all the teams want to go.
And now the Jags have to protect their interest in London because everybody wants into that market especially. That was the most interesting part of the week for me.
Can you explain, because I saw on Twitter and I saw you respond, I guess Tony Kornheiser made a comment about China.
I'll find it, yes.
That basically the Jags will go anywhere to play. They went to London. They'll go to China to play because at least they don't have to cover up half the stadium.
It was very uninformed.
Yeah. And well, he was uninformed.
Yeah, I'm not
for many years.
I don't want to get into this tarps and all that stuff because the guy, I mean, I've met Tony. He's a nice guy, but he's clueless.
I've got the quote here. Whenever you want.
Yeah, but I don't even care about the quote. What I'm curious about, were the Jags mentioned anything with China down there? Did Shad talk about China? I mean,
he was asked about, hey, would you be interested in any of these other countries? And no, not especially. We want to be.
Yeah, I was just
London.
Wondering if there was some
London.
Context that's like somehow Shad said we might play in China one day. And only no. I asked that not because I would be concerned one way or another. It's very self preserving for me because that's a long flight from here to China. I'm not sure I'm ready.
It's a long flight from L.A. to China. The Rams are going to play there.
I've done that flight. I've flown from L.A. to China.
How far?
It's between 13 and 15 hours in the air.
Wow.
And I don't want to do that. And I don't want to fly from here to China. So I just want to feel better that we're not playing in China.
It sounds like that would not be in the immediate plans.
I'm curious because I want to know what Tony Kornheiser said.
Okay, so Kornheiser earlier this week, after the story comes out about Germany and China games.
In L.A., the Rams are the one going to play in China in 18, right?
That's the story, yeah. Yes. Here's the quote from Kornheiser, quoted by Mark Long, who was watching that day. What the story says to me is that Jacksonville will be going to China so they can once again, as they go to London all the time, they find a stadium where they don't have to put tarps over half the seats and sell it out. If the NFL wanted to play in New Zealand, Jacksonville would go to New Zealand. That end quote. So it's just he's got to find stuff to throw on TV quick. Obviously, he didn't watch the free app, Jags app, and Jaguars.com and Shad Khan's comments.
Hey, he likes to hear himself talk.
Or watch. It's okay. Any games in the NFL that there's several teams now that cover up portions of their stadium.
Oh, like Washington, the Redskins, had to remove seats.
Like the Oakland Raiders who do the entire upper deck of one side of the stadium.
Which is not a big stadium.
It's just one of the smaller stadiums before they do that.
Yes.
Or the fact that this is one of the largest stadiums in the NFL and consistently more and more tarps have been taken down.
Yeah, but see, Tony, the facts get in the way.
I know. The facts get in the way of a good story, Jeff.
I mean, come on.
The other interesting part of this, the London thing, and I never really thought about it until this past week, you get the London market. When you play an afternoon game in London, it's prime time in China in the Far East, and it's early morning in the U.S. That is the prime time zone for any kind of international sporting event. That's why the ratings on the stream last year were so big. I never really thought about it like that.
Shad Khan is not doing anything without – having some serious thought put into it.
Oh, you're saying smart?
Yes.
What was your first clue?
Let me think.
So, listen, I got to be honest with you, the whole London thing, and I was up in the air. I don't want to say indifferent, but kind of curious. It's kind of grown on me. Like, I enjoy – listen, it's hard on the travel, especially because we sit back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little difficult on the travel.
You get an exit row, though, Tony. Your legs are sprawled out in the walkway.
But here's and this is why this year will be easier for me. Because last year when I was really fat, I had to wedge my fat rear end in between because I'm in the exit row where the things don't come up. The armrests don't come up. Jeff, you sit in the same thing.
Yeah.
And so literally by the end of the trip, I have bruises on my hips from digging into
surgically repaired hips.
Oh.
Bruises on your fat
brutal.
Rolls.
I mean, it gets to the point like my legs are falling asleep. I mean, and so this year, oh, the fact I'm going to sit down and my fat butt is not going to be as fat, and I'll be able to fit in.
I got a question for you.
You know, normal human.
When we take the flight over there, they serve a hot chocolate chip cookie.
I will not have it.
Yes, they do. I'll have yours.
I shouldn't say I won't because I'm at a stage now. I mean, I'm eating not normal. I don't eat a bunch of crap like I used to, but I could have a cookie and it wouldn't be the end of the world.
All right, just checking.
You heard it here, you're recording that? Because we're going to hold you to that.
But I won't be what I usually do on those trips, Jeff, and you know well, of eating like...
So like an eight-hour eat fest.
Even on the just normal road trips, two bags of, you know, chocolate-covered pretzels or yogurt, whatever they are, and two bags of peanut M&Ms and three sacks of Chick-fil-A.
Steak dinner? Yeah, sure. Breakfast?
Absolutely. You know, extra piece of cheesecake? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, so... that's what happens. You do that, that's how you get up to near 350.
Plenty to get to tonight on Jaguars Thursday. We'll come back and break down the rule changes in the National
Football
League.
And I don't like any of them, JP. None of them.
None.
Not one.
We'll break them down.
Very good.
When we come back, SunPass, a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Glad you're with us. Got a tweet a moment ago.
Yeah?
I sent out a photo of you and I getting ready for the show. Tony wasn't here yet.
Yeah?
Got some responses to that. One of those...
What was that? What are the responses?
Well, I'm about to read them. Can I read them?
I like asking questions.
So. I know you do.
I'm like a reporter like that.
No, you're not.
Oh.
At CobaltBlue22, you guys should be broadcasting from the pool with a few Roar members on a day like this. Well, how about any day, right?
I would have to pass on that. I'm a married man.
Oh, well. Too bad.
My guess is, Jeff's, got his own relationship that he probably doesn't want to.
I'm good.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, you don't want to probably go down that path.
No.
JP,
I don't need to go to the pool.
I'm wide open.
You're wide open, but as soon as they saw you take your shirt off, they'd run.
Yeah, because I'm almost 260, apparently. That's fair. That's actually fair. Yeah.
Run
and hide.
Mm. The next one was get a haircut, hippie. Talking to you, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm getting a little long.
You know what Jeff looks like right now?
This, though.
You know what Jeff looks like when I walked in, I thought of? Jeff looks like one of those guys who's just been worn out, rode hard, like just beat the hell out of after a long day of work, and he's just like, I'm done.
I cut my goatee, trimmed that up. Now I'm growing it out of the top of my head.
I wish I could do that.
You know?
That'd be nice.
Are you really trying to grow hair up?
No.
I mean,
too lazy to get a haircut.
It's not a good look.
I like it.
Back in the day, Jeff had a mane. I mean,
we've seen some photos and video of that.
Yeah.
You need to get it back, man.
Yeah, well, a little.
I don't think so.
Business in the front, party in the back, a little mullet.
Let's do it, man. Come on.
That was long everywhere.
Did you ever, you had a mullet, though, at one point, too, because it was much longer in the back.
Yeah, but it wasn't, above the ears mullet. It wasn't a champion mullet.
Did you ever go through the long hair stage?
I did, actually. Yeah, I had long hair in high school. Yeah,
I had not a major mullet, but I remember that was, the style. Let the hair come out of the back of the helmet.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I had that going on.
I had long hair down to my shoulder in high school
at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was so thick, it was like out to, 6 inches off the side of my head, too. It was just huge. So it didn't really look so good.
I bet you were ugly.
Yeah, I was a freak. Let's talk about some of the rule changes.
Let's dig in.
National Football League, we'll go down the list. The playing rules proposals adopted by the NFL clubs earlier this week permanently moves that line of scrimmage for extra points to the 15. It was a one-year
trial. I actually like that rule.
It's fine, yeah.
I come back. I didn't like it. I didn't hate every rule change. I like that one.
I didn't like it last year. I'm fine with it. Whatever.
I do like it.
That just makes it
permanent. I thought it made the extra point interesting.
Yeah, sure did.
Especially for us.
A little too interesting at times, right?
That it did.
Permits the offensive and defensive play callers on the coaching staffs to use the coach-to-player communication system regardless of whether they're on the field or in the coach's booth.
Don't like that.
See, I don't. It's not a big deal.
This is why it's a big deal to me.
Why?
Because you are now going to see the NFL game go more like the college game, where the coaches are now dictating everything. Because
but they still have that ability now. The only difference is they're allowing that headset to be worn from a booth.
No, but here's the difference. This is why it's different. Because now, if you go hurry up, and you go on the line of scrimmage constantly. Remember, the coach to quarterback communication does not shut off until the last 15 seconds before the play. So that gives you 25 seconds from the time the ball is put into play and line up to call play. So at that point, if you are a fast-playing team, you can line up. That coach in the booth now can sit there, call the play, look at the coverage, tell the quarterback what the coverage is, where they want to look, where the blitz is coming from, and really dictate. Now, for a young quarterback, it'd be great, but it takes the game off the players and off the field, and that's what you see in college. That's what you see in college football.
But it could still happen today from a coach that's on the sideline.
But it doesn't, because you don't have the view from the sideline to see the defense like you do at the top. I don't like it.
Can you really get all that information in 25 seconds?
Absolutely, you can. First of all, you're talking shorthand. You can call the play quickly. And if you talk in shorthand about coverages, you know, what receiver to go to, you could, as a coach, dictate the game to a quarterback. And I don't like that. Let the players play the game. Coaches call plays. Let the players play the game. Make a quarterback do that.
Yeah,
that
separates more to it than there is.
I don't like it.
All chop blocks illegal.
I hate that.
I'm good with that.
Hate it. Now, just to make clarification, that doesn't mean cut blocks are illegal. Running backs can still cut linebackers on the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive linemen could still cut pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Could go still cut guys on screens. Could go up to the next level and cut guys.
Mm-hmm.
What the chop block is, just for everyone listening, is the chop block's been illegal in the pass game for a long time, pass blocking, meaning as an offensive guard, he can't be blocking a defensive tackle, and me as a tackle come down
and knife the legs.
And knife the legs when he's engaged with an offensive guard. Same as a back. A back, I can't be blocking a defensive end and the back come and try, instead of chipping his way out now, come and cut the defensive end as I'm blocking him. That is a chop block. When one player is engaged with a defensive player and another one comes and cuts him. I actually think that's a smart rule for the pass game, because you really leave a guy.
If it's a smart rule for the pass game, then why is it not
running? Let me explain why. I thought the rule when we played, Jeff, was a dangerous rule, because that allowed offensive linemen to throw on the back of legs of defensive linemen. Very vulnerable, very dangerous, and you saw guys get hurt.
Yep.
And put defensive players in a vulnerable position.
Still see guys get hurt.
But let me finish. As much as I didn't mind, even as an offensive player, because most offensive players, now there's some dirty guys, no one wants to hurt. I never wanted to take a guy's knees or ankles out. That's not, you know.
It wasn't the intent,
no,
but sometimes
it
happens.
Happen. But, I mean, you felt bad. I mean, you didn't want to do that. The way the rule has been the last couple years, and it's been modified to make it safer and safer, the rule the last couple years has been you can cut an adjacent player when he's engaged with an offensive lineman in the run game within the tackle box between the two tackles and within, I think, a yard either side of the line of scrimmage. But the offensive player had to have his head and shoulders in front of the player's body, of the defense player's body. And not only that, and they could not roll once they are engaged to tie up the legs and create more injuries. I don't think that play, when it's done properly, is a dangerous play for a defensive lineman. Because even if you're engaged and someone goes low in front, head and shoulders in front of your legs, and you did not see a lot of injuries last year with that play at all, it is not a dangerous play when it's done right.
See, I disagree. I think it can be dangerous, and I think that a lot of not the major type injuries that happen, but I think that any time a guy has somebody high and somebody low and has to contend with both of them, he's put at risk.
And it's football. You're at risk the moment you step on the field.
Yeah, but to me, I don't think you need it.
It will greatly change run games in the NFL.
It's okay, and that's okay.
It'll be much more difficult.
It's not going to make it ineffective.
Oh, someplace.
I don't think so.
Outside zone, Jeff. You can't cutback's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, but there's a lot of teams in the National Football League that don't apply that,
and they don't run the outside zone very well. The teams that are good, like the Houston Texans, and teams that still run that zone scheme well on the outside, is because they cut down that backside three mm-hmm. technique. And if you don't cut down that backside three technique, you create no natural running lane for the back to cut back.
I like keeping the game up.
I hate it. Well, it's not keeping it up. You still can cut people.
Well, you still cut them, but I mean when they can see it and expect it, not when they're engaged. I mean, that's the whole thing, is when you're engaged, you're tied up with somebody else, and here comes somebody at your
knee. Terrible rule. Terrible rule.
Fourth rule change. This is a one-year trial. Disqualification of a player penalized twice in one game for certain types of unsportsmanlike, including fighting and punching, but also taunting.
Hate it. Because now that this is what we're going to do
now. This is where a lot of coaches had an issue with this.
Yeah, because you know what's going to happen now, Jeff? What is our biggest complaint about the officials? That they have too much on their plate.
It's too much judgment.
And they make too many judgment calls mm-hmm. that affect the outcomes of games. So now.
This is mandatory, right?
Mandatory ejection.
If I read it correctly. Yes. It's two personal fouls.
You're done.
It's
a red card situation.
And see,
like
a lot of personal fouls are not the intent of making like a grossly illegal play is not there.
Well, it's unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah,
fouls.
It's not late hits.
Right.
It's fighting, taunting, stuff like
it's
that.
It's only a certain specific type.
But it's still because the officials,
they might hear something, but it might not be that guy that said
exactly.
That.
It's terrible. It's a dumb rule.
I don't think that they should make it mandatory to where, you know, two and then you're out. But I think any official that views something that is grossly out of line should have the ability to throw somebody out of the game, which they already have that.
Do we need to give these officials any more on their plate to make judgments? We're already asking them to diagnose concussions on the field and to keep players safe. They can't figure out what a catch is or not in this league.
They didn't change that rule at all.
They mess up. 2 years ago, they changed the illegal contact down the field, and they messed that up on a consistent basis because
it's not
right.
Consistent. That's why
they never make a consistent call. They still don't know when it's DPI, defensive pass interference, or not. That changes on a daily play basis, game by game, or even within the game. Mm-hmm. Sometime, I mean, we play the Houston Texans, and we got DeAndre Hopkins pushing off on guys, and then Allen Robinson uses a form. It gets called. DeAndre Hopkins is mauling people and gets nothing. And I get it's a hard game to officiate. Now we're going to give them more? Idiotic.
We'll come back and get to the final five rule changes. Plenty more to get to here on Jaguars Thursday. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And SunPass is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman. Jaguars Thursday continues. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. We're going through some of the rule changes approved by NFL owners earlier this week down in Boca Raton at the NFL annual meeting. Now we're at a little bit of a controversial spot. Not that these other ones were controversial, too.
No, I thought they were.
Yeah, you're not a fan of any of them.
Oh, the one I like.
That's right.
Next point.
This one changes the spot of the next snap after a touchback to the 25-yard line on kickoffs. This is a one-year trial basis. This is the same rule as the college game. went to a couple years ago.
You know, that's a mistake. You know, and I get their intent. Their intent was, bring it up to 25. But, I mean, here's the thing. Most teams are going to go ahead and do what Frank had brought up, the term that I use. It's called a mortar kick, mm-hmm. which mortar kicks or more of a hang time kick. So less depth into the end zone, more height to where the returner has to bring it out at, inside the five. So, it's just like a punter, trying to get less distance, more hang time to make them bring it out to try to get a tackle inside the 20 or inside the 25. Because, I mean, the numbers, JP, and I know you're going to give them here, but, the league has done studies year after year after year of what the scoring percentage is based on the ball starting inside the 20, from the 20 to the 25, the 25 to the 30, the 30 to 35. They have every number on all of that. And it's amazing how much it increases when you move it from the 20 to the 25.
Yes, it is.
And to me, I don't understand what they were trying to accomplish. What was their goal?
The goal was to create more touchbacks, because what they thought was happening last year, and we saw it a lot, that even though the ball is kicked 5 yards deep, teams would take it out trying to get it out past the 20.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're trying to create more touchbacks, why would you reward the receiving team an extra 5 yards for not bringing it out?
5 yards is a big deal.
Because, their thought would be that if they move it up to the 25, now teams, when the ball is kicked 5 yards deep, they're like, we're not going to risk it because we already get it at the 25. It's one thing to try to get past the 20, but try to get past the 25, which makes no sense because they're not thinking, well, now there's another team that's kicking the ball, and they're going to
make a different decision.
Make a different decision.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Tony Khan about this on Wednesday.
Yes.
And he was obviously involved at the owners' meeting, and he was very opinionated that he thinks that was not good.
And it hurts strong leg kicker like the Jags have. He's one of the top five in touchbacks, I think, this year in the league.
Yeah, and they're trying to make it safer, but in reality, they won't end up making it safer. More special teams coaches now are going to shorter, higher kicks,
yep.
and go for that tackle at the 20 or inside the 20.
From the analytics department, led by Tony Khan, in the last 5 years in the league, drives starting with two or more minutes and a half from the 20-yard line, an average of 1.63 points per drive and scoring nearly 30% of the time. Mm-hmm. From the 25-yard line, 1.77 points per drive and 32.5. So 2.5 points, 2.5 points, percentage points difference in scoring. More increases. From the 25. So it increases.
It's not dramatic.
But
it does.
But it is a difference.
Yeah, it does. It changes the mindset when you get the ball starting at the 20 versus the 25, yeah. I think, offensively speaking.
All right. So it's a one-year rule. We'll see how it goes. And they could.
That's a one and done.
You think so?
I'm just going to be curious how long it's going to take for them to just not even have a kickoff. Really?
What are you going to do, throw it, and –
No, you won't even have a kickoff. You'll just, if a team scores a touchdown, then the opponent gets the ball on the 20.
Because then you take away the onside and the team coming back late, take away a lot of excitement. One thing I read –
you wouldn't necessarily take away the onside kick.
Well, then how are you going to do onside kick?
Well, I mean, you would just –
the option, I guess.
The option. You say, okay, we can try an onside kick, or we can just give the opponent the ball on the 20.
Pat Kerwin, NFL radio.
I know Pat. Yeah. Pat came in the league with the Jets back when I was there.
Yeah, I read an article, I believe he wrote, or maybe just retweeted it, I'm not sure, that if you want to make that portion of the game safer, force teams to punt after they score. Mm. Punt is a proven safer play. I mean, you look at the statistics. It's a more exciting play, and you can still block a punt.
Let me explain why he's saying that. The reason that kickoffs have been so dangerous is that you have a wide space between coverage people and blockers.
Free run.
So you have full speed collisions. And what Pat is talking about is so that if you get a punt team to do the kickoff, then the punt return team will now be the kickoff return team. And they have to line up on the ball like you would on a punt team. So now you have more close quarter contact, less high speed collisions and such. It makes sense that Pat I think makes a good valid point there.
And then you could still have the onside kick as an option if you wanted to.
All right, four more to get to here. The expansion of the horse collar rule includes when a defender grabs the jersey at the nameplate or above, not just in the collar.
I don't like that.
It'll just keep creeping down, right?
Yeah, it's terrible. So again, then maybe make it harder for a defense player to make a play.
I mean, yeah, you're trying to make a tackle.
More judgment through an official trying to figure out exactly where it was grabbed. And not interested. Terrible rule.
Makes it a foul for delay of game when a team attempts to call a timeout when they don't have any left.
That's a good rule.
I like that rule. I didn't know that was in there. I just said I like two.
It's just, I mean, basketball. I mean, going back to the Fab Five at Michigan.
Right.
I mean,
Chris Webber.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Good rule.
Because what has happened is that teams have attempted to use a timeout when they didn't have one.
At least slow it down.
They weren't penalized.
Whoops.
And the officials are like, oh, well, we called time because we thought they had a timeout, but they don't. It's first and 10. We'll wind the clock on our start.
Yeah.
No, that's not fair.
Getting technical with this one, eliminating a 5-yard penalty for an eligible receiver illegally touching a forward pass after being out of bounds and reestablishing himself, it now makes it a loss of down, not a 5-yard penalty. So when he steps out of bounds, reestablishes, he's the first to touch. It used to be a 5-yard penalty. Now, it's only a loss.
That's fine.
Indifferent.
It's fine. And then the final one approved eliminates multiple spots of enforcement for a double foul after a change of possession. That's quite technical as well, but very minor. Those are the rule changes. Expansion of reviewable plays was tabled for further discussion, by the way.
I got a question for you guys. If there's a, let's say, the opponent has two penalties, what happens? You get your choice,
right? You pick the greater one.
Why not enforce both of them? You know,
like 30-yard penalties or something.
I mean, if an offensive player, let's say defense player, let's say you have defensive holding, and then you have roughing the quarterback, okay, on the same play. Why not tack them both on, right?
No, I don't like that.
I do.
A lot of yardage.
Well, I mean, look.
Why do we have to keep on messing with the game? Isn't it good enough right now?
Apparently not.
It's pretty good.
It's actually worse than it used to be, in my opinion.
Of course,
still pretty good.
I would change some rules back.
Like what?
I'd take away the defensive receiver.
Take away defenseless receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know whose fault it is when a receiver is defenseless?
The receiver. Right?
No, it's the quarterback.
Quarterback.
Don't throw it there, you idiot.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, I guess.
And if you don't want to do that, at least. Take away the either make it reviewable, the defenseless receiver, you know, leading with the crown.
Or they should make that reviewable.
Make that reviewable because the officials miss it. It's such a bang-bang play. It's not their fault. It's impossible. Go slow it down and look at it. And if a guy – because several times in game-changing plays, not just our games but other games you watch on TV, it's a perfect, exactly how you want to draw it up, play by the safety.
And it gets flagged.
Chest,
but here's the thing.
But the head snaps back because it's so violent, and it's a penalty. It's
the thing that I've always kind of had a problem with the defenseless receiver of it not being reviewable, is that if a defender is coming in and he's targeting the chest area,
and the guy lowers his head,
and the receiver ducks, and then that's
not a penalty.
That shouldn't be the defensive player's fault.
Mm-mm.
If he's coming in at what appears to be a very – that's why I always say, is what's the intent?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that should be a reviewable play. And I agree with – I think it was Belichick who made the proposal that all plays should be reviewable.
I don't want pass interference reviewable.
Because judgment call, judgment. I get that. Everything should be reviewable with the exception of something that would be considered a judgment
you don't
call,
want to
like
be
interference.
Or holding offensive
right.
I mean, come on. What I do think – if I was commissioner, I
think holding should even be reviewable.
No. Because, I mean, then you're looking at it and no, I don't think so. If I was commissioner, the change I would make, I'd get rid of the defensive receiver completely, and I would make massive fines if after reviewing it at the league office, we deem it's a legal hit. I just fine the crap out of people. And I already do that. No, but I'm saying, and suspend guys, and I know they do it, but
I already
I would
make, do that too.
But I'd make it so onerous that guys are like, I'm changing because it's affecting my livelihood. And the other thing I would do, because where this game's going, it's a much Jerry Jones down at the owners' meeting, and maybe we'll get to this next segment, said something about there's no connection between football and CTE. After 2 weeks earlier, a league official sat before Congress.
Well, I think he said that more information needs to be gathered.
Which is, overall, I agree with his comment. And there was a great article on Yahoo by a neurologist doing a similar study, very well renowned, and basically said it is a complete jump to conclusions to say that CTE is caused by football. He says we don't know. CTE can be caused by drug use, by a lot of different issues. But what I would do, because where the game's going, not getting into that conversation about CTE and everything, I would change some of the rules back that have tried to have taken away, like a defensive receiver and stuff like that. You still want to make it smart. You shouldn't be able to spear guys or lead with the head and all that. That should be a penalty. But I would I just make guys sign waivers. Say, this is a dangerous game. And if you don't want to play it, then don't play it. Don't play it. Here's the waiver. We're acknowledging. Tough game. Sign a waiver. Don't play if you don't want to.
There you have it. Simple enough. We'll come back in a moment. Look around the National Football League. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. We look around the National Football League. We'll start off with right here in Jacksonville. Coaching additions earlier this week announced, including in 50 years of football, Monty Kiffin as defensive assistant. He was around in an unofficial capacity during the defensive coordinator search, but now has an official capacity with the team. Monty Kiffin.
Yeah, I know him very well. Monty was actually, when I was in New York, when Pete Carroll was the defensive coordinator, he was the linebackers coach. Also had a great success with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He's got a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, and I think having somebody like him on board, not really with a positional title, I think can be good, you know, especially for a first-year defensive coordinator and Todd Walsh. Now, but if I'm Todd Walsh, I also don't want anybody to think that anybody but me is running the show because it's his defense and it's his responsibility.
Well, I think it's going to be – listen, Monty's role, and my guess is, and kind of reading between the lines, is going to be a sounding board. A lot of experience and has a relationship with both Todd Walsh and Gus from Tampa Bay. Is very good coach. You know, now is he past his time maybe to be the guy of the defensive coordinator? He probably doesn't want that role. But to be a sounding board, ask questions, other eyes to look at things, I think it's very valuable.
And Gus confirmed at the AFC coaches breakfast that no, they will not be running the Tampa 2 defense coming up. Former Eagles Patriots fullback Kevin Turner, former Alabama fullback, died today, 46 years of age from ALS. He had started a foundation working to research the disease and some possible links to brain trauma. He was a third-round pick in 1992.
Yeah, and that, what a sad, so sad. I've had a family member have ALS. It's a terrible disease. You just hate it. It's an awful disease, and the way it kind of takes away the life of a individual and the process of they have to go through. And I want to go back to something I said before the break about waivers and everything like that. I'm not saying that they should not make the game safer. I think the NFL taking the head out of the game as much as possible is very smart. My frustration is when players do that and do it the right way and are still penalized, that affects the game. That frustrates me. In our society or culture, the NFL, or whatever is the leading factor of trying to sanitize football to something that it's not. Football is just like a lot of things in life. There's a risk. In everything you do, there's a risk. And I think most players know that when they get into it. Jeff probably knew the day he started playing football, his body would never be the same. I knew that. Something we signed up for. With that said, I think more research needs to be done. I'm not saying CT isn't real, and I'm not saying that I know there's a connection or not between issues that concussions can cause, and that CTE comes from concussions, and that bad diseases like ALS, there's a link between them. I don't know. My whole point in saying that is there's a lot of studies out there that conflict with each other, and I think what needs to be done before we start jumping to conclusions about anything is dig in deeper and get more and more research to really find out what the mm-hmm. cause is and if there's anything we can do to stop it. Because concussions are real, and concussions are bad. And I like what the league has done with the independent neurologists. I like what they do with the concussion protocol to try to keep, protect guys from themselves. We see it at high school. We have protocols in high school, the way we teach the game and the way we handle concussions. And it needs to be done at every level. And I think whether concussions caused Kevin Turner – ALS, to me, is irrelevant right now. What is sad to me is that a guy way too young had to fight a terrible disease that affects a lot of people that play football and don't play football. It's just sad. I'm sad for him and his family.
I think the two guys that I've become aware of that have had the most issues, you know, in recent memory is him and Ted Johnson, the linebacker of the New England Patriots. He's supposedly in pretty bad shape, too.
I saw Ted. And he's doing radio in Houston now.
Is he?
And Ted is doing really good now. He went through some tough time.
Yeah, he had a real bad stretch.
And he I'm not sharing anything that he hasn't talked about. But Ted is doing really, really good. Well, he's doing radio on a daily basis in Houston. Cool. Looks great, sounds great. I don't know if there's other issues he deals with physically, but talking to him in Houston, because we had the same agent. Mm-hmm. He went to Colorado where I grew up, so mm-hmm. I've known Ted since college. And he's doing really good now. I know for a stretch. But the other guy is Steve Gleason, who has ALS from the New Orleans Saints as well, and he's fighting the fight right now.
Quarterback news in Cleveland. Robert Griffin III will get $6.75 million guaranteed over 2 years. Is this the answer for both sides?
I don't know how much more that I can criticize the Cleveland Browns organization. I mean, really. I mean, that organization is there's a lot of questions about it.
Why do you have a problem with the signing? Who else are they going to sign? They need a quarterback.
Well, I mean, Tony, after watching RG3, okay, the last couple years, do you think he can play?
No, but here's my if I'm the Cleveland
Browns. There's your answer.
No, but if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I don't think he can. But if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I got Hugh Jackson, who's a very innovative coach, has done a lot of good things as an offensive coordinator, and you need to bridge the gap. You're going to draft a guy with a second overall pick as a rookie, and if you can keep him from having to go into a bad team, a bad franchise, and RG3 can play that role and maybe get lucky and catch lightning in a bottle, but at least you can start building – a team around your future quarterback, which is going to be the second pick overall in this draft. I'm okay with the signing.
It's a stopgap, but they just better not present it as. Well, he's
I don't think they
the
are.
Man.
I don't think they have. Everything I've read, they haven't said that at all. Even their look at the contract.
They've lost how many guys through free agency? It's been immense.
Well, I'm not saying now that I agree with you. That's bad. I don't understand that. But this signing, I'm fine with it. $6.75 million for a quarterback in today's. It's not much money.
It's not much guaranteed money.
Not much guaranteed money.
That's all he's worth.
It's a one-year deal, and you're going to draft. And what I like about this decision, you can now draft a guy second overall and just say, listen, we're not going to put you in a situation where you're going to die out there because we're not very good right now.
You might not have a choice putting him out there, though, because RG3's got a pretty serious and long injury history.
Well, go get another backup. Make your rookie the third.
The Los Angeles Rams on HBO's Hard Knocks this training camp. You like it?
I like it because, you know what, there's no franchise in the National Football League that's got more storylines than the soon-to-be Los Angeles Rams. I mean, the move of a franchise, and to me, that's very intriguing. Not really having – they don't even have facilities lined up.
I think they're going to be practicing in like four different locations this offseason.
I mean, to me, that's very interesting. I think it's very intriguing. It's going to be worth watching.
I don't care. I've never watched the show one time in the history of the show. I don't even have HBO, so I could care less.
All right. Well, there you have it. Maybe you'll watch it this year.
Maybe.
Come over to my house. We'll
watch HBO first, though, HBO, JP, and I'm not doing that.
For Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. We'll be right back.